Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 18th of July, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, it's time to shoot back. This will be based on an article written by a fellow Floridian by the name of John Kaminsky, who lives on the west coast of Florida. And again, we'll be getting into his article at this during this broadcast. Before we begin, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumri Ambit. And yes, my accent probably is not dead on, but I believe my brethren over there know what I'm saying. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody's muted until such time as you indicate in the queue that you wish to speak. On the phones, it's a star six. On computers, it's press the ask question button, or a button that's very similarly labeled. And that will put you in what's called the question and answer queue. I'll answer the people in the queue in the order that I receive them. We do ask that you mind your language and use proper decorum on the air, especially if there's more than two of us on air. Try not to walk on top of each other. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And again, we're going to go into this. It's time to shoot back, according to John Kaminsky. Now, before you go running off on a tangent, try to remember that we are speaking figuratively for the most part. But as we get into the article, you'll see why he titled it that way. And we've talked about the concept of God-ordained and God-approved self-defense. You know, the modern world wants you to think that you don't have a right to self-defense. You have only the rights that your masters in government and corporate America and the bankers, the elitists, or whatever term you want to use for all these monsters, they would have you believe through the propaganda of the media that you don't have any rights except the ones that they acknowledge. Well, the truth be told, of course, is it's the other way around. The rights that we have that cannot be abrogated are what we call natural rights or God-given rights. Those rights existed from the time we first came out of our mother's womb. You were born with those rights, and nobody can take them away. And you say, well, sure they can. Government can do that. No. A right, by definition, is something that cannot be legislated away. Because if it can be legislated away, it is a privilege and not a right. Do you see the difference? So when the Bill of Rights was written, it was just to acknowledge or force public servants, such as bureaucrats, force them to sign an oath and take an oath to verify that they understood that if we give them the job as a public servant, they are to honor our God-given rights. The Constitution and oath of office have nothing to do with you and I, folks. We live as free men and women upon the land. Yahweh put us here, He made us, He gave us this earth, and He told us to take care of it. And even as the Hippocratic Oath says, do no harm. We were not to do harm to each other or to this earth, meaning the animal and plant life. We were to honor it. We could use it, but we could not abuse it. So everything has been jumbled and mixed up because of sorcery. And in this case, it's word sorcery. And who are the greatest word sorcerers walking this earth? Yeah, Jews, of course, Satan's kids. And for the people out there that want to shout, well, Dan, you sound like an anti-Semite. Well, okay, well, then burn your Bible. Because that's what your Bible's telling you, especially if you go and take the trouble to go back to the original languages. It's exactly what the Bible's saying. And it's exactly what Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, said when he walked this earth. Or as the Greek word put it, Jesus Christos. That's what he said. Well, Dan, how could he have said that? He was a Jew. Well, Pilgrim, you've got that one wrong too. No, he wasn't. He was a Judahite, one of the 12 tribes, meaning Anglo-Saxon, Aryan, Caucasian, but he sure as hell wasn't one of these creatures called Jews today. He hated them. They hated him. Somebody find a good word in Scripture where Christ referred to Jews in a positive light. Please, tell me, where is it at? It's not in there. He condemned them because they are here to steal, to kill, and destroy. You look at the history of the Jewish people, and that's exactly what they have done in every country that they've ever existed. That's why they've been expelled over 109 times through history from countries where they resided, because the ruling powers figured out what they were up to. Most notably, Queen Isabella and her husband in Spain expelled them. It was the time of the Inquisition. A lot of people don't understand. The Inquisition was about rooting out Jews from amongst the real believers. Conversos is what they were called in Spanish, meaning converted, the converted ones, the fake converted. And there were Moors, the Black Moors and the Arab Moors. Some of them were conversos too. Okay, pretending to be Christian so that they could stick around. So we need to take the blinders off and see things for what they really are. But anyway, we're going to get into that article here in just a minute. But before we do, I want to give the verse here for today is out of the book of Psalms, 119, verse 7. We're going to read from the Amplified Bible today. I like the Amplified as well as the World English Bible because the Amplified will add, it's not really notes. It's why it's called the Amplified. In other words, we talk often about the fact that in English, our words are not as descriptive as the ancients, okay? Believe it or not, we think we're so damn smart. But in the ancient Hebrew, and particularly in the Greek, their words were much more descriptive, okay? For instance, the word love, the Greeks had three or four that referred to what we call love. We use one word, love, whether it's brotherly love or eros love, meaning sexual or sensual love. We don't differentiate. We just call it all love, where the Greeks had a separate word for each one. Do you see what I'm saying? So the Amplified Bible will put in brackets additional information so that you can make a better translation, because it will inject some of the other thoughts that go to the words that the Greek language had that we don't today. Does that make sense? For instance, Adelphos for brother. It comes from two words meaning Adelphos. Meaning from, Delphos meaning the womb. So their word brother is very descriptive, meaning you're not my brother if you didn't come from a white woman's womb, because the Greeks were Aryans, Caucasians, Israelites. So a brother is somebody from the same womb. Does that make sense? Of course it makes sense. Why would a Greek walk up to a Nubian from Africa, the darkest of Africa, and refer to him as a brother? That would be ludicrous. He wasn't a brother. has a racial connotation. That's why you'll see, anytime you study history, we went out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel as Christ commanded. There's only one group of people walking this earth that was ever referred to as his lost sheep. One group, one racial group that he referred to as lost sheep. Now, a lot of the modern people don't like to hear that. That's too bad. That's your problem, not mine. It's pretty obvious when you properly translate, it's a very racial document. That's why Christianity used to be called the white man's burden. Go look it up. Following Christ, being a believer or a covenanter, as the Scottish used to call themselves, followers of the way was another way we used to refer to ourselves. Followers of the way were Caucasians. Therefore, this faith, not religion, but faith, living, active, real-time faith, was referred to as the white man's burden. Now, the beast system wants you to forget about racial connotations at all, and they have to get you to think that way because the Jew would be exposed for the alien that he is if you were thinking as Christ taught and the early believers taught. You would have to differentiate them out. And they love to mingle in. They want to be the wolves in sheep's clothing, so to speak. That's why Christ warned you about them. You have people who look similar to you, but they are imposters. They are usurpers. Just like the article that just came out from the CDC director, who is obviously a Jewish woman, trying to convince people that the unvaccinated are the new problem. Do you see how they work? By deception thou shalt make war, as the Mossad motto says. That's exactly what Jews do. They pray the Kol Nidre prayer every year. Kol Nidre means all oaths. So once a year on Yom Kippur, they get together at their synagogues of Satan, and they pray a prayer that allows them to lie to you and I for the next 12 months, even if it's under oath. Now, you have to ask yourself, if you're a thinking person, how is it that we allow Jews to be judges, lawyers, prosecutors, policemen, congressmen, Pentagon officials, medical, law school? Why do we let them in any of these institutions when their very, quote, religion allows them to lie with impunity, even under oath, such as in a witness stand in the courtroom, or raising their right hand and taking an oath to preserve and protect the Constitution? The Kol Nidre prayer allows them to lie even under oath. You see, their religion is quite different than ours, isn't it? It's time that we get over this whole worshiping of the Jews. They are the antichrists. And I'm using the words of rabbis when I say this. And I've got the proof right here. I just sent it out in a mass email. I'm quoting rabbis. Okay? Rabbis, teachers of that particular religion, saying that Judaism is antichrist. And it is antichrist. But they know that most of you won't take the time to ever look into it. You'll believe whatever that monster called a flat screen tells you, or the televangelist tells you, or that prostitute in robes down at that whitewashed sepulcher called a church. You'll believe that, but you won't take the time to get off your ass and look into anything yourself. They know that. They're counting on your acquiescence and your apathy and your cowardice and your laziness. Yep, because that applies to most of us. Therefore, we become proselytes of the Jew, Therefore, we become twice the child of hell that even the Jew is. When the Jew convinces the Aryan man or woman to go along with their agenda, they are twice the child of hell. Who do you think's coming to the door, knocking on it, trying to get you to put this poison in your body? Is it Jews? No, they don't do the dirty work. They get some goyim, some shiksa to do it, meaning a white person that's prostituted themselves to the Jew. That way they don't have to take the chance of being accosted or possibly injured by the disgruntled people who know that what the government's up to is wrong. They'll send your sons and daughters into the street, just like they get us to go to these no-win wars that are only fought to increase Jewish property and profit. Okay? They have no problem sending your children off to die in these completely political ventures for their world domination. Go read the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. If you don't believe me, go read it. I read it years ago. If you haven't read it, shame on you. It's the blueprint for their takeover. Okay? Go read it. Just like the Talmud, if you can stomach it, you should read through some of the trash in that thing. That's their holy book, not the Bible. You got to wake up, people. Abortion comes right out of the Jewish Talmud. A child is not a child until it's born. And you say, well, they say the Jews push for abortion even after birth. And after birth, don't the Jews believe it's a person? Well, you have a point there. Yes, they do, but only if it's a Jewish baby. You see, you're an animal. And even the birth of an animal doesn't give it any more rights. So therefore, abortion even after birth is okay to a Jew. You see how that works? All you have to do is a little digging, folks, and all this insanity, all this corruption, all this monstrosity that's going on makes perfect sense. As long as you understand who's behind it. Anyway, we're going to get into Psalm 119, verse 7. I will give thanks to you, meaning Yahweh, with an upright heart, meaning bent towards righteousness. When I learn through discipline your righteous judgments for my transgressions. Give thanks to Yahweh with an upright heart when I learn through discipline your righteous judgments. You see, he gave us the law not to punish us so much as to encourage us and to signify how you lead a righteous life, which will bring what? Peace, prosperity, justice. You see, we have no justice in the land today, do we? Of course not. How the hell could we have justice? Now, I wanted to read to you, a lady contacted me who does a lot of meditating, a very spiritual lady, and she recited to me a meditation that she had had less than 24 hours ago, and she said it was one of the strongest she's ever had, and she's in her 60s. And she was going to send me a write-up because it was her vision. I'm only going by what she told me. But I did not receive it. I was supposed to have it in time for the show. So let me try to, from memory, just convey what she saw. And I've got other spiritual individuals who've contacted me with similar thoughts lately. But hers was very intense, and she was overcome by a feeling of peace, because even as we're watching the world go to hell in a handbasket, and we hear constantly, even in the alternative media, about what these monsters, these quacks and charlatans in shoe leather are doing amongst us in our society, the total perversions, even as we see all of that increasing, the righteous appear to be given a spirit of calmness, as if this is about to turn around. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How? I haven't the foggiest. That's in the realm of my Father in heaven, and it'll happen however he wants to do it. But will this turn around on their heads? Well, the prophets told us so, didn't they? Didn't they say that Yahweh sits on high and laughs at the plans of men? And the prophets also told us that these plans by the New World Order cabal, and particularly these Zionist Jew monsters that walk amongst us, he said, I will take their plans and turn it around and put it upon their heads only double. In other words, what all they have planned to do to you and I will be turned around and placed on them only twice as hard, twice as severe. In other words, it will backfire. Hallelujah. So I thought I would pass that on. Again, if she sends that to me, we'll read it on another broadcast or I'll mass email it out. But she had much more detail than that, and it was wonderful to hear it, because you could hear it in her voice that she was excited that even with all of the fear porn that is being pushed on us, the righteous are receiving instruction from the Most High to be patient. Look up, just as Scripture says, look up and see your redemption. Didn't the prophets also tell us at the end of the age things would look pretty nasty? Or as in the Greek language, a great shaking in the heavens and the earth, meaning everything is a great shaking, not just earthquakes, tsunamis, and tornadoes and such things. That Hal Lindsey, another Jew, and his books about the apocalypse, etc., they focused on the earth changes when the new heaven and earth comes. But the Greek language was basically saying anything that causes you to look in awe, meaning your mouth agape, because it's just so preposterous. Isn't that what we're seeing right now? What they're doing in the skies with the chemtrails, what they're doing to the water, the soil, the seeds, they're hybridizing the seeds, they're genetically modifying the seeds, which is contaminating the heirloom seeds. They're destroying this world. No wonder Christ said, if I didn't put an end to it in time, no flesh would be saved. Hallelujah. That's exactly where we're at. So I wanted to convey what she had said because it brings with it a message of peace and tranquility for the believers. Now, there is a group out there that likes to point to all the scriptures that say, well, Dan, it's been foretold that the Christians are going to have their heads chopped off. Really? I got news for the son of a bitch that thinks they're going to chop my head off. I'm going to take them out with a 410 or a 20-gauge shotgun. All right? Now, if you want to take on the attitude that it's great to be a martyr and to die and shed your blood as a witness, well, then you go ahead. I'm going to take the stand of King David and Joshua and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the rest of my ancestors who were warriors. I don't buy this notion that it's my job to die for the wicked. I take it that it's our job to destroy the wicked. Now, if we die in the process of trying to take them out, well, glory be to the Father. We're going to die anyway. As this, there's an old saying, that's a hill I will die on. That's another way of saying there are certain topics and things that I will not tolerate and will not allow you to cross the line. So when somebody says, that's a hill, H-I-L-L, that's a hill I will die on, they're saying it is a event or a topic that they're willing to give up their life for. In my case, it would be if you try to stick that poison in my body. That is a hill I will die on. If you try to disarm me, that is a hill I will die on. If you come to rape or harm any of my family or those that I'm in charge of or care over, I will die on that hill. That's just me personally. You do whatever you feel you have to do, because you, my friends, will stand in front of the Father all by yourself. I won't be there. The local Jew won't be there. The local prosecutor, the local cops, the local military guys, they're not going to be there. You and you alone will stand before the great white throne judgment. You and you alone will give testimony as to why you did or did not do what you do with your life here on earth. Remember, we've talked about the old adage, the gift that our Father in heaven gave to us is life. That's a gift. He gave it to us. You didn't earn it. He gave it to you. But what you do with that life is your gift back to the Father. He leaves it up to you, ladies and gentlemen. So what are the hills that you will die on? I've given you a couple examples of mine, but what have you done yourself? Have you looked within yourself? What are the hills that you're willing to die on? Because the white race lately doesn't seem to have any. They've been sitting on their ass while the wicked have just been running roughshod over our white nations. It begins to wonder, are there any lions left within the white race? What happened to us? Well, mainstream Christianity happened to us. It took the fight out of us. It took the men out of our males. They're more like cucks and soy boys, little soy boys out there with their hair up in buns and makeup on and speaking softly and don't say curse words and make sure you go to church and listen to the prostitute tell you to not get involved in politics and don't worry, God's in control, so you just sit there on your ass in the pew, make sure you throw some money in the plate now, you just sit there because it'll be okay, not knowing that prostitute behind the pulpit is part of the clergy response team, which means he's already sold his soul to Satan, called the government, that he'll go along with the party line as long as he and his family are left alone. He's willing to sell you out, you the members of the sheep in the congregation. He's willing to sell you out if he's part of the clergy response team. Isn't that sweet? So you're going to listen to this prostitute, this whore, who just sold out to the government, and he's going to lie to you, and he's going to tell you to just sit there and take it. Ain't that sweet? So he and his family, at least that's what he's told. Now, the good news is that communist Jews, and we're going to base this on past history, communist Jews are going to take the clergy that signed up with the clergy response team, and they'll be the first ones that get lined up against the wall and shot once they take total control. That's the good news. Okay? These sons of bitches have sold out their congregations. I pray, Father, allow me the honor to be alive to watch them when the commies that they supported take them outside and shoot them. Because that's what communists do. They always shoot the stupid, useless eaters that help them come to power. Because, first of all, they can't trust you. Because if you're so stupid and so weak that you're going to believe a Jew and his propaganda, then they know they can't trust you. Because somebody with a better story might come along and you'll do whatever they tell them. You see? Because you're a coward. You're a weakling. You're a moron. They don't have any respect for you. They'll use you until they come to power. Just like Stalin and Lenin and all the rest of them. Jews. And who did they execute as soon as they got the chance? The very people that helped them get to the top. So that's the good news. There is some karma at work here in the world. So all of these traitors in Washington, D.C., all of these traitors in our state government, all of the traitors in the Pentagon, all of the traitors in the state police departments, all the traitors in the sheriff's departments, all the traitors in the local law enforcement, they'll be the first ones they round up and execute. Hallelujah. I have no remorse for them whatsoever. They deserve everything they're going to get. All right? You're traitors. Treason is a capital offense, meaning it's punishable by death. That's what capital means. And they have committed capital crimes. God's law says capital crimes deserve a death penalty. You've listened to the Jew, and you've taken away the death penalty. And they wanted that for a reason, because most Jews have committed crimes that would require them to be executed. Now, it didn't say every Jew, but a lot of Jews. Who do you think has led us into homosexuality, transgenderism, pedophilia, drug and prostitution, sex slave trade? Jews. Jews. Who's committed the most treason against us in the form of espionage and spying? Jews. Pollard, Rosenbergs, and on and on and on. All Jews. Who are the mass murderers that we've ever heard about? Of course, they don't tell you that's what they are, but they were Jews. Okay? It's been going on a long time, folks. That's why Christ said, wake the hell up. What's wrong with you people? Shake the dust off your head and start thinking. Use that brain I gave you. All right. Let's get back to John. Now, what I want to do real quick is read through John's article here, because I think it's a good one. And he's making some valid points, and then we'll stop as we go through it. And again, at any time, if somebody has a comment or question, please feel free to enter the queue, and then we'll talk about it. But I wanted to get this out here because John doesn't live very far from me here in Florida, and one of these days we're going to get up and have a face-to-face talk. But he entitled the article, which came out yesterday, "It's Time to Shoot Back. Vaccination vampires must be stopped cold." The proper sign to post is, "Trespassers will be shot on sight." Hallelujah. Meanwhile, U.S. government demolishes the First Amendment. Now, here again, we're going to read his article. So these are the thoughts and the words of John Kaminsky. It's quiz time. Provide the correct answer and you get to keep yourself alive. The wrong answer will be the last mistake you'll ever make. Ready? What is the proper response when it becomes obvious that someone is trying to kill you? Obviously, it is to kill them first. The first alternative is to escape, but escaping does not eliminate the threat. Unless it is clearly a one-time event, such as an encounter with a bear or a shark, at best, escaping can only postpone the problem. If the threat might be repetitive or continuing, there is no sensible alternative to eliminating the problem permanently. This is where Obadiah 18 and Ezekiel 25 verse 14 come in. With these phony inoculations, your government is trying to kill you. No ifs, ands, or buts. It is becoming crystal clear as millions die from government-mandated jabs following the phony election that everybody's lives are in jeopardy. It is time to shoot back. When the contact tracers or the vaccine vampires come to your door, shoot them. Shoot to kill, because that is what they are doing with their poison-filled needles. It is the only answer we have left. Let's stop here for a minute. You know, our founding fathers went through this same process. They were writing letters of grievances to the King of England from the 1600s on. So for over 100 years, the colonists were constantly talking about the abuse of power to the crown in England. So the revolution didn't happen overnight. There was a long train of abuses and attempts by the colonists to correct these abuses, and all the crown in England did was get worse year by year by year by year. Also, the crown in England became heavily controlled by Jewish influences at that time. Okay? So the same thing happened there. We attempted peaceful resolution, and that's what we've been doing up till now. And all John is talking about is the same thing our founding fathers talked about. When it becomes obvious that the enemy has no intentions of ever retreating and will only continue to get worse, that's where you're at. Let's get something straight. The so-called COVID-19 pox might not have actually killed anyone at this point, since too many doctors, free from the gruesome grip of Big Pharma's nightmare fairy tales, insist this COVID concoction has been neither isolated nor purified. This is according to the CDC's own statements. Therefore, no matter how many official statements you may have heard, COVID-19 does not scientifically exist. Therefore, no one could possibly have died from it. What exists is Anthony Fauci's criminal concoction, accompanied by a widespread campaign of lies, getting people to take a shot that will likely end up taking their lives and fulfill Bill Gates's demonic desire to radically reduce the world's human population. The government won't listen to us. See, just like the founding fathers, they reached that point here. That's what John's trying to say. The government won't listen to us. Not only will they not listen, you'd have to be a deaf, dumb, and blind fool not to realize by now that they're trying to kill us. Not trying, but actually killing us. It is premeditated, widespread, deliberate mass murder. A shocking assertion that government statistics, censored and stifled as they are, clearly reveal. Consider Gates' lurid grin when he talks about reducing population with vaccines. Let me stop here for a minute. I have seen that TED Talk where Bill Gates does have that smirk on his face while he's talking about using vaccines to reduce the population. So again, this is nothing that's not public information. John is stating the obvious here. However, the powers that be know that the average person isn't going to look into this. They react completely from emotion. But then again, Yahweh can use anything to his glory and for his kingdom. He's separating the wheat from the chaff. Okay, that's exactly what's happening. Think about spike proteins lurking in your veins, ready to end your life with blood clots at just the right moment. Think of all the pilots. Now no longer allowed to fly, lest they drop dead in the middle of their flights, transporting hundreds of passengers towards their final oblivion. Think about nanometals inside your body, making you magnetic and susceptible to 5G radio waves, directing your every action for the remainder of your unnatural life. And think about the avalanche of lies regarding inappropriate tests, suffocating masks, psychotic lockdowns, bogus treatments, and false statistics blaming deaths on COVID when they really should have been attributed to a cornucopia of comorbidities. As Eustace Mullins said long ago, it's blatantly obvious murder by injection. Let me stop there. Murder by Injection is the title of the book written by Eustace Mullins. You can still find it. In fact, there are PDF copies of it available. Continuing, now that our feeble fake president has ordered his vaccination vampires to go door-to-door jabbing innocent victims under false pretense, the advice to put up no soliciting signs is being deliberately ignored by these fascist stooges. The proper sign to post is trespassers will be shot on sight. Hallelujah. And then, when a few of them are filled full of lead, this insane invasion of homes by government goons will likely be halted. Posting a sign like that and then shooting those who violate your warning is perfectly legal, especially since you can prove simply by existing statistics that these twisted perverts wanting to stick a needle in your arm and infect your body with a poison called mRNA substance that can never be removed is nothing other than attempted murder. If you let them do that to you, you're a total fool. These are nothing but legalized home invasions with homicidal intent. Shoot them and shoot to kill, just like they do. It is called self-defense. And now we may say a little prayer for all those who did not realize what their own government is doing to them. I know, stopping here, many of us have friends and family who have ignorantly taken this jab. Continuing. As the days pass and more of us realize what the government is actually up to, this necessary slaughter of gruesome government guerrillas will absolutely be the only legitimate maneuver that can save the United States of America from total destruction. Then he has an addendum here. Now that reality is beginning to effectively sink into the public mind, the government has doubled down on its desire to call the American population as our third world Surgeon General Big Pharma shill has blathered out an, quote, official warning against, quote, health misinformation. Yet another war is peace broadside, urging the public to take the vaccine that is killing more people than their Frankenstein disease ever did. And then he's got a quote here. U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy, that sounds like a good Irish name, on Thursday issued an advisory warning the American public about the, quote, urgent threat of health misinformation and disinformation that have, quote, threatened the U.S. response to COVID-19 and continue to prevent Americans from getting vaccinated, prolonging the pandemic and putting lives at risk, end quote. The 22-page advisory calls on big tech and social media companies to take more responsibility to stop the online spread of health misinformation. The advisory blamed, quote, misinformation for causing people to decline COVID vaccines, reject public health measures such as masking and physical distancing, and using unproven treatments. Then he's got a website here, childrenshealthdefense.org. This is sheer big pharma bullshit. Hallelujah, John. This deliberate slam against treatments that actually work, notably ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, threatens Big Pharma's out-of-control profits generated by the poison vaccines that actually don't work and fill people's bodies with spike proteins acknowledged to be toxic by the CDC itself. Many honest doctors, from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and Andrew Kaufman on down, have warned that millions who have taken the poisonous government jab will die in the next few years. Heart attacks, mad cow disease, and sadistic deaths by medical malpractice are the government's recommended course of action. Let me stop. This is called iatrogenic death. Iatrogenic means death by the medical profession, either by misdiagnosis, malpractice, wrong dosage, or wrong drugs being administered. So iatrogenic death means death by doctors or the medical profession. Continuing, totally unreliable mainstream media shills merely echo the big pharma profit strategy as human society strangles on these cynical lies. This is a new level of government disinformation that flips reality on its head and makes government propaganda the truth and the honest revelations produced by conscientious doctors as contraband ideas that the public should not be allowed to hear, which is yet another blatant attack on the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment guarantee of freedom of speech. The issue now has become, will an informed public actually fight to save their own lives in this insane push by the government to call, C-U-L-L, the population, meaning to reduce it or kill it? It has come down to this: defend your own life with the truth or believe the government and let them kill you with their lies. Again, written by John Kaminsky, who is a writer living on the Gulf Coast of Florida, constantly trying to figure out why we are destroying ourselves and pinpointing a corrupt belief system as the engine of our demise. The corrupt belief system here, of course, is mainstream Christianity. It's a bogus pseudo-religion meant to destroy the white race. And John Kaminsky lives in Northport, Florida, which is just north of Punta Gorda. Very good article. I sent it out to a bunch of people, but It's Time to Shoot Back, again by John Kaminsky, published yesterday. And many people have responded that, yes, indeed, it is time. Okay, it's probably been time. I can't believe that it's not happened up till now. But it's pretty obvious to anybody watching what the hell's going on that, indeed, it is not conspiracy theory. It's fact. It's conspiracy facts, not theories. Facts. Backed up by the government's own websites. But again, they realize the average person is too lazy, too stupid, and too apathetic to actually look and do any kind of research. But let me ask this pertinent question. As we come to the end of this age, which we are, and we're going to go into the kingdom age, with this beautiful world that we're sitting on, do you want these morons to be part of that kingdom? Think about what I just said. Do you want to see these mask-wearing, injected morons who have no brains, no balls, no heart, no soul, do you want to see them in the kingdom? Okay? The answer should be no, of course we don't. The scriptures, through the prophets, said the Father has declared, nothing that offends me will enter the kingdom. Nothing that offends me will enter the kingdom. Do you think he's offended with race mixing? Yeah, the scripture says he abhors it. Do you think he's offended with cowardice? Yep, scripture says the cowards will be lumped in with the goats, right? Do you think he likes the gossipers and whisperers? Nope, they're lumped in with the goats too. How about the abortion clinic people? Do you think he'll let them in? Nope, murderers go into the fire. How about the homosexuals? You think they're going to make it? I'm talking about the militant homosexuals now. Nope, they're not going to make it either. Not going to make it. How about the pedophiles? Do you think pedophilia is going to make it? Nope. They get burned up in the fire too. How about organ harvesting or sex slave trading? Nope. They're not going to make it either. Well, geez, Dan, not too many people left. Exactly. That's why Christ said, my flock's a little flock. That's why when he gets done separating the goats and the sheep, and when the tares get burnt up in the fire, there's going to be a lot of property available for us. There's going to be a lot of work to do to restore things, to bury the bodies of these morons, because a lot of them will be dead. And because they're diseased and they're actually not even human anymore, they're not as God created them, they'll need to be destroyed. So we're going to be busy. Even the scriptures talk about the fact that after the bloodletting of Armageddon, it'll take 7 months of full-time work for those of us that remain, 7 months of full-time work to bury the bodies. 7 months to bury the bodies. You're watching prophecy being fulfilled, ladies and gentlemen. And according to these very spiritual individuals, including my own revelations of late, I believe that's why I'm sleeping soundly in the midst of all this, is because the Father, through the Holy Spirit, tells me not to worry. Excuse me. All right. First of all, he's in control, not Satan. Satan uses the weak, the feeble, the cowards, the gossipers, to accomplish his will. So we're going to see a lot of people go by the wayside. It's unfortunate, but it is what's going to happen. Now, the CDC director has just put out a thing that the unvaccinated, meaning the people smart enough not to put this bullshit in their body, they're the problem. Now, the CDC director is a Jewish female. Now, imagine that, pushing a lie, saying that the white Anglo-Saxon Caucasians, because that's who's mostly rejecting this insanity, that we're the problem. You see, they've got to make you and I the problem because they don't have permission to destroy Yahweh's people. They don't. So they're going to try to get these goats out here while they're still living, while they're still healthy enough to be violent. They're going to try to get them to look at you and I as the problem in the hopes that they'll destroy a good number of us. Because Yahweh has told the Jew they don't have a right to just come out and just outright destroy us. They don't. Just as it was in the days of Lot. Okay, Satan wasn't given the right to destroy or do harm to Lot. He could deceive him. He could make his life miserable through deception, which, I don't know about you folks, but this existing in this world today is misery. It's wearisome to walk this earth right now, to see so many blind, stupid, weak, cowardly people. I had no idea there were that many. I knew it was bad, but I had no idea it was this bad. Even amongst my own friends and family, it's been very hard to find out just how many have no faith whatsoever. Do you think that's why Messiah said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find that? Think about that. As he looked around at those he walked and talked with, will I find faith upon the earth when I return? Whew. Wow. A resounding no. Not much, Master. Not much. People would rather believe some shill like a Fauci on the front of the camera, or some shill like the current administration, or at least what's pretending to be the administration, or any of these other corporate mouthpieces, or mainstream Christianity mouthpieces like John Hagee or Kenneth Copeland and the rest of their ilk, with all kinds of Jewish shekels falling out of their pockets just like Judas, betraying Yahweh and Yahweh's people for Jewish shekels. Personally, I hope they get the same reward that Judas got. I hope Father Yahweh takes them down, destroys their bodies, and all of that blood money just falls on the ground. That's what they deserve. I listened partially, I didn't have time for the whole thing, but a sermon given by an Australian, it was pretty interesting. And he made some good points, very similar to the things that we've talked about, that the religions of the world are at war with those of us that walk in faith with the Father. Because the false religions are threatened by truth-tellers. Okay, now what am I calling false religions? Well, the Roman Catholic Church is a false religion. The daughters of the whore, known as Protestantism, are fake religions. Anything that requires you to join it is a fake religion. Anything that expects you to tithe to it is a fake religion. There's two easy ways to determine it, okay? If you have to join it, because it has its own, quote, church bylaws, that's a false religion. If you have to join it, if you have to tithe to it in order to be part of the club, okay, that's a false religion, pseudo-religion, okay? If they teach that Jesus Christ was a Jew, it is a false religion. If they teach that the Jews are God's chosen people, that is a false religion. If they teach that it is our job to obey government, no matter what government does, that is a false religion. If it lifts up any man-made institution above the Almighty, it is a false religion. So, most of these, quote, religions, whether it's Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Islam, Judaism, or mainstream Christianity, they are all false religions if they teach any of those things. Now, for the folks out there of Islam, if you're holding up Muhammad higher than the King of Kings, that's a false religion. Sorry. If you anything in flesh, if you put it above the Father Creator, that's a false religion. It's just a way to control you. That's what the very word religion means, by the way. Just like government, to control the thought processes, that's what government comes from, those Latin words. Same thing with religion. It comes from words that depict a control mechanism over people. That's what false religions do. Because faith in Christ, faith in Yahweh, is a life. It is a relationship. It is not a religion. It doesn't have any textbooks. It doesn't have any requirements for membership. It is a relationship between you and your Creator. It comes from the heart, not the head. The heart. That's why I like the verse that we read. I will give thanks to you with an upright heart. Meaning consciousness. Upright. Righteous. Full of joy. When I learn through discipline your righteous commandments or judgments. Just like Psalm 149. In fact, let me go to Psalm 149. That'd be a good one here for today. And again, I like the naysayers out there. Well, Diane, you sound like this. You sound like... Get off my back, will you? Get a life. Go out and do a little bit of research on your own. Don't call me with your petty bullshit. I really don't... I'm not going to listen to you anyway. And praise Yahweh, I don't get very much of that for some strange reason. A lot of the other broadcasters that I've known over the years and truth tellers, they get death threats. They get visits from the Alphabet Soup gang. I haven't had to deal with that, to be honest. I'm kind of discouraged a little bit because the scripture says that if you will teach my truth, you will suffer persecution. And yeah, I have suffered persecution in certain forms, but not like these other broadcasters. Okay? I figured by now the Alphabet Soup gang would have been on my doorstep, but they haven't come by, and I don't know why. I know they listen in. Of course they listen in. Unless what the scripture says is true. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Or the story of the third captain that's in the scriptures, talking about the prophet Elijah. That's the only thing I can think of. And I say, if that is the reason, then hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I wanted them to come by so that I could look them in the eye and tell them what I think of them and what Father thinks of them. I was kind of hoping they would come by so I could do that. Or even some of these people that like to threaten, but they haven't done it. I got one bad, I think it was an email. No, it was a phone call from a homosexual when I lived in Michigan. He thought I was being mean because I was saying what the Bible says about homosexuals. That was it. One homosexual, and then one time a black guy contacted me and said the same thing. He just thought it was mean. He said, why are you saying what you're saying? I said, because it's the truth. And I said, if you can't handle the fact this country was founded by white people for white people, that's your problem, son, not mine. I said, go read Federalist Paper Number 2 by John Jay. It makes it very, very clear this was a white nation for white people. Very clear. It was never intended to be this polyglot of mishmashed races and cultures. I mean, that's just stupid. That's why we have the chaos we have today. Homogeneous nations survive. Diverse ones do not. That's just a fact, okay? Now, Psalm 149, and I think, is this the Amplified? Yeah, this is the Amplified Bible. Praise the Lord, and of course we know that should say Yahweh. Sing to Yahweh a new song and praise him in the congregation of his holy ones, meaning the believers, his godly ones. Let Jacob Israel rejoice in their maker. Let Zion's children rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with the tambourine and lyre. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. That's something our people need to learn a little more about, humility. They don't seem to have much of it lately. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let me stop here for a minute. You know, it's interesting. I found that when I go to bed at night and when I wake up first thing in the morning, that's when I do most of my praying. Because that's my quiet time. Lights are off. There is no electronic devices, no human around me to disrupt or take away my concentration. There's no animals, no noise, just quiet, peaceful. I always wondered about this when I was little. Why would they sing for joy on their beds? So why would it be limited to their beds? Because unfortunately, men, meaning mankind, we get so caught up in the earthly things, we are easily distracted, except for bedtime. Now, here's another interesting point. Today, we sleep with our wives. In olden times, we did not. Only in modern times do we do that. Why is that? Because bedtime was your private time. Now, people say, oh, Dan, that's ridiculous. I love my wife. I won't go to bed with her every night. Well, then, son, you go right ahead and do that. But when I was a child and growing up in Amish country, the farmhouses typically had two separate bedrooms for grandma and grandpa. They were separate. And if they did live in the same bedroom, there was often two beds in one at one end of the room and another bed at the other end of the room. Again, because it was their private time. And now that I've reached the age that I've had, and I've lived both lives, I've lived what the society teaches, the monogamous, go-to-bed and lovey-dovey and all this other stuff, it didn't work for me. In fact, it hasn't worked for many of the people I talk to. It could be that we're out of line, out of sync with Yahweh's way, you think? We're getting into the emotional part. Oh, but if you really love somebody, you want to be around them 24 hours a day. I got news for you. There's nobody walking this earth that I want to be around 24 hours a day. Nobody, male or female. That doesn't mean I don't like them. But I got news for you. I don't want to be around them 24 hours a day. And I don't think you do either, if you're honest. That's all Father Yahweh's saying. Why don't you try my ways? Why do you want to keep going man's way, which is typically influenced by the Antichrists? So anyway, I used to think about that verse quite a bit, verse 5. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Why would it be just the beds? Because that's your private time. It should be anyway. Your private time. When you go to bed at night and when you wake up in the morning, how many times does the scripture say it? As you go to sleep at night, give thanks to the Father for what happened in that day. Meditate upon Him. And first thing in the morning, a shout of hallelujah. You have another day on this earth to do His will upon the earth. Hallelujah. So let them sing for joy in their beds. Let the high praises of Elohim God be in their throats. Okay, now here's the part that's really going to get you. And a two-edged sword in their hands. Be ye doers and not hearers only. Isn't that what your book says? If you're reading your scripture, that's what it's telling you. So, at the same time you're singing the high praises of the Creator in your mouth, you're to have a two-edged sword in your hands. What's that for? Defense, not aggression. Defense. Just like the knights of old who took a coat of honor, that they would defend who? What's the Bible say? Widows and orphans. Today, we might even say babies in mama's belly, the most innocent life there is on this earth. Take the sword in your hands. So you want to praise the Father with your mouth, but you'd better have a sword in your hand because there are evil people that walk this earth, and they need to be punished. Verse 7, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. So right there's your answer. Why would he say high praises in their throats and a two-edged sword? Right here he's telling you to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. You want to know why this world is so effed up? Because we're not punishing evildoers. To bind their kings with chains. Today that might be government officials. And their nobles with fetters of iron. Nobles today would be who? Bankers, corporate executives, mainstream media moguls, social media owners and directors. There are the nobles. To execute on them the judgment written. Not man's law, God's law. This is the honor of all his godly ones. Some versions put saints. Praise Yahweh, which is hallelujah. Again, amplified version. So again, to execute on them the judgment written. Written where? In legal documents? No, in scripture. And written where? On your hearts. You know damn well what should be done to pedophiles, rapists, kidnappers, murderers. You know damn well. This should be put to the sword. This is an honor to his godly ones. It is an honor to pick up the sword and execute those who deserve punishment. It's an honor. And it's a duty. We have forsaken this duty. And now we're witnessing a full-blown communist takeover of the world. As it says in Scripture, the whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yah to be manifested. What's that saying? The whole world, including all those widows and orphans and suffering innocent people, is in travail. That word is talking about pain, as in childbirth. So you ladies can relate to that, right? And you men that have witnessed ladies given childbirth, you know what kind of pain that is. The whole world is in this pain, waiting for who? Waiting for you and me, guys. The sons of Yah to be what? Manifested. What does that mean? It means to show up. To be visible. Because right now you're not. You're all home sitting on your ass. Either watching football, watching reality TV, doing something on your computers. You're doing everything except picking up a sword. That's what John Kaminsky's article is saying. Guys, it's time to shoot back. You have a criminal element trying to take over the world and subjugate it to the most demonic rule ever conceived. You have a cabal of criminals who wish to do physical harm to you and your loved ones. To dispossess you off your land. Remember Klaus Schwab, the kike, and all of his other fellow kikes have said, you're not going to own anything shortly. You're going to be a renter, and you'll be happy. Why will you be happy? Because you're still alive. Because the rest of you will be dead. You'll be happy because you're alive, and we're allowing you to even have a home as a renter. The rest will be tortured, raped, or murdered, just like communists always do. You see, if you have historical knowledge, what they're saying makes perfect sense. He's just repeating the party line of the communists. The Jewish Bolshevik communists have always operated this way. Alexander Solzhenitsyn and other Russian survivors of the gulags have written extensively about what these bastards do. But you morons don't know, because you don't ever take your heads out of your ass enough to see or read anything. You simply believe the latest hogwash coming from the prostitutes, whether they're prostitutes from the NIH, prostitutes from the CDC, prostitutes from the White House, prostitutes from the State House, prostitutes from the county commissioners, prostitutes from the police departments, prostitutes, prostitutes, prostitutes. You would rather believe these paid-off whores than listening to the Holy Spirit of the Most High. Because the Holy Spirit's telling you to wake the hell up. The Holy Spirit's telling you, you are my sons and daughters, my creations, and I gave you life. I gave you the right to life, the right to self-defense, the right to free speech, the right to peaceful assembly, and the right for violent assembly in the cause of defense, much as the patriots at Lexington and Concord here in the United States. Peaceful assembly. By the way, Lexington Green, they always talk about Lexington Green, where the militiamen stood against the British regulars, and the shot heard round the world started the American Revolution. They don't ever seem to add that Lexington Green was what they called the yard around the church. Now, why do you think the Patriots were at Lexington Green, meaning the local church? Why did they pick that spot? Because the British were coming to the church to take away the black powder and the musket balls and the musket rifles, because that's where they stored them, at the church. The church was part of the militia. And often the pastor was the leader of the militia. You see, back then the church stood for the living God. The church stood for the violent protection of innocent. The violent protection of our rights and property. Just like the Japanese samurai Bushido code that we quote quite often, the only way to stop evil men who are violent is for good men to be better trained in violence. That was the history of the samurai, very similar to the history of the knights of the Middle Ages in Europe. They took a code of honor that they would use their martial training in arts of spears, shields, swords, bows and arrows, and longbows, and crossbows for the use of defending the innocent. Yahweh does not abhor violence. He abhors violence to do evil. He condones and approves violence in the defense of the innocent and for justice. That is a fact. That is something they don't want you to think about. All the more reason everybody should be thinking about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I don't really have anything else I wanted to cover today. If somebody wants to call in with a report or a question, now would be a good time to do it. If not, I will assume then that nobody has anything further to discuss this morning. I have found some interesting books lately. The Lost Science of Money, The Mythology of Money, The Story of Power by Stefan Zarlinga. That is a very interesting book. For you men out there, you might want to pick up a copy of The Unplugged Alpha, The No Bullshit Guide to Winning with Women in Life by Richard Cooper. He is an alpha male. Don't know where his heart is as far as spirituality, but I think you'll have what he has to say to be quite helpful. Honoring My Father and Mother by Sam Simpson. I just finished that one. An excellent book. Excellent book. And it gets back to why we should not allow the funeral industry to have our loved ones when they pass. Curtis, welcome to the program, buddy. What's up?
Well, I'm all right. Listen, this is a broadcast. I agree with everything you say. It's just practice, practice, practice in the Word of Yahweh, and anything's possible. really gave me confidence, and I'm ready to go for Yahweh's ways.
Absolutely. Well, we got to take away the spirit of fear, and we have to take away the propaganda that says we don't have a right to defend ourselves. We do have that right.
You can't say that enough times. How humiliating it is to live in a system like this, and just. But we can't defend yourself without practice, and the word of Yahweh really helps. It's a wonderful source of practice, and
yep.
Sermon really gave encouragement. So I got some groundwork to work with.
Absolutely. How are you doing in your job and everything? Good.
Well, matter of fact, I'm in New Hampshire right now, and my load didn't come in, and I had to wait through the weekend to finish the load. I got to the consignee maybe an hour or two late, and they're closed Saturday and Sunday, so I have to go in on Monday.
Oh, do you get penalized for that?
No, this time it was
good.
A hot. It was what they call in the trucking industry a hot load. Nobody wanted to take it, so I took it. So I had a 1 day to drive 900 miles, and that was not possible.
Whoa, that's a long distance in a big rig.
Yeah.
Are you with a co-driver or are you single?
Single driver.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a long way to go for a single driver.
Mm-hmm.
A team might be able to do it, but even them, I think that'd be a little bit beyond their normal daily travel distance, isn't it?
No, not really, because each driver can go 600 or 700 miles a day, depending on their, their physical shape. If they're in good physical condition, they can go over 700 miles. That just depends on how strong and mentally and physically strong you are.
Right. Sweet.
Just depends.
Yep.
Iron sharpens iron, and the more people you have around you that like a pride of lions that you have, you know, you want to be around other people. You can't do it without other people around you, and so. The more people that stand up, the more people will be around you, the better you can defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we get better. But you're not an island. You need people.
Yeah. There's strength in numbers. That's right.
Yeah. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep looking for others and stay strong.
Very good, Curtis. Very good. Well, be safe on the road, brother.
I will, brother. Take care.
Yeah, take care. Yeah, God
bless. All
right, Curtis from Texas, but he's up in New Hampshire on the road right now. So, and it's our brother John in Miami. He's another fellow truck driver. Goes out quite often. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share and to put forth your ideas and your words to the prophets. We also know that you've said that this is your plan, this is your world, and in the end, it will be your plan that comes to fruition and not the wicked ones. The righteous are standing firm in the midst of all the lies and deceptions. We hope and pray that, Father, you would bless them with your Holy Spirit, that you would send your saints and angels to minister to them, and especially the Holy Spirit that would grant peace and calmness to your sons and daughters, knowing that we walk with you, and we don't need to pay attention to the doomers and gloomers, the naysayers. And it is not our job to be martyrs. It is our job to be victorious. We are put upon this earth, Father Yahweh, to be your warriors, not the pincushion for the Antichrist. So raise up your lions and your warriors, Father Yahweh, in the defense of truth and justice. And when the wicked are diminished, and when they are put asunder as they should be, and all of those who go along with them, and the people that you have said that offend you, then true paradise will come upon the earth. And we look forward to that day and for your return to sit upon the throne as our one and only King. We just pray it will be very, very soon. Again, thank you for all the blessings, Father Yahweh. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings. Walk with us daily. Give us good discernment to see through the lies and deceptions. And always protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we ask and pray. Hallelujah.